You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. We live in an age of information and technology. The more access you have to technology, the more access you have to information and communications. The challenge is access. For residents living in rural areas, access to high-speed internet can be difficult. Recently, the California Public Utilities Commission awarded Siskiyou County $11.7 million as part of a $2 billion last-mile federal funding grant program. To help us understand more about the anatomy of broadband and its importance to residents in all areas of Northern California is Rachel Peterson, the Executive Director of the California Public Utilities Commission. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I may be asking for the impossible, but can you help us understand what broadband is, how the physical infrastructure works, and why the last mile program is important to residents in Siskiyou County?
Sure thing. And thanks again, Mike, for having me on the program. The California Public Utilities Commission is in charge of a grant program, just like you mentioned. It's called the Federal Funding Account. And now that's kind of a technical name, but really what it's meant to do is deliver high quality, reliable, high-speed internet to communities across California that don't have it today. And we, just like you asked, we are really looking at delivering fiber to these communities, whether they're locations or homes or businesses that have been left on the wrong side of the digital divide. So the infrastructure does require either trenching or placing on utility poles, in order to bring it as close as possible to the people who need it. And the internet delivers what so many of us rely on every single day. It gives us access to education. It gives us access to public safety when our communities are in emergency response mode. People can access healthcare. It supports economic development and workforce development efforts. It is just essential to modern life. And we're part of bringing it to the places that don't have it yet.
Well, tell me more about this last mile. I understand what the last mile is, I think, but what's in between? What's the backbone? What's the middle mile? How does this thing work?
Yeah, so we are working closely. We're one state agency, and we work closely with our partners in another agency called the California Department of Technology. And our swim lanes are split pretty clearly. We are in charge of the last mile, and the California Department of Technology is bringing the middle mile to California. That is just like you described. It's a trunk line. It will eventually extend to 8,000 miles all over California. It's not just one line. It does branch out because California is such a diverse topographical state. So it does branch out, but that provides this key element that California has never had before. It's what's called open access, which means that the state of California is in charge of the terms by which internet service providers can link up to the middle mile. And open access means exactly what it sounds like. Everybody knows what the terms are. They're commercially available. And so all sorts of businesses, small businesses, medium, regional, educational institutions can access that middle mile. Now, the key is that some communities won't be able to access the middle mile because they don't have their last mile taken care of. And that's where our grant program comes in. So the two pieces are meant to work together. The trunk line that is extending through California with equal and transparent commercial terms, and then our grants to local communities to deliver those last mile networks connecting up to the middle mile.
So when I think of infrastructure, and that's what you're describing, I think of roads and bridges. But broadband is now part of that critical infrastructure, isn't it?
In our view, it is. It hasn't been viewed that way for some time, until really the COVID-19 pandemic happened. And if you take yourself back about 3 years ago, California was largely ordered to stay at home because of public safety concerns, public health concerns. And we saw what that meant for school kids. You know, we saw kids sitting in parking lots close to some kind of mall or restaurant where they could try to get a little bit of internet so they could do their homework. So it became glaringly clear to many people around the state that there was a piece of infrastructure missing, that why didn't people have the internet in their homes the way so many of us do and so many of us rely on it every minute of the day? And that really caused, I think, a sea change, and we really have our state leaders in the legislature and with Governor Newsom to thank. In 2021, they approved a generational investment in California. They approved $2 billion for this last mile program that we're running and $3.8 billion for the middle mile that our Department of Technology is in charge of. Senator Mike McGuire, who's our Senate Pro Tem President now, Senator Brian Dahle, Assembly members Dr. Jim Wood and Megan Dahle, they were all part of this historic change in how we view the internet. We turned it into a piece of essential infrastructure that Californians all over the state deserve to have. And now here we are on the cusp, not just on the cusp, but we are actively putting that vision into practice with the type of grants we're making today.
I'm talking with Rachel Peterson, the Executive Director of the California Public Utilities Commission, about expanding broadband access to a number of California counties and three tribal communities. Can you talk a little bit more about the tribal communities?
Yeah, we've seen the tribes really step up and become internet service providers. What's about to happen in Humboldt and Del Norte counties is the Yurok tribe is going to receive a sizable grant and provide new internet service across both counties. And the Tolona Dini Nation, and apologies if I've mispronounced that, is also going to receive a last mile grant and become an internet service provider. So we've seen tribes really take an interest and a leadership role in this program, both for their own communities and because sometimes it makes sense to build the infrastructure in locations along routes where it also brings the benefits to non-tribal communities as well. So we're seeing a lot of leadership emerge from tribal nations.
Okay, so Rachel, I don't mean this next question to be controversial, but it seems apparent to me that very often when infrastructure is designed and developed from the outset, certain peoples are left out. And then they have to complain, and then they have to wait until more funding can be found at a later time to include them. Can you help us understand why this pattern consistently occurs, and what's the thinking during the initial planning stages?
Well, let me start by saying that you're right to identify that pattern over the long haul. And like I said, that was the catalyst for this program in the first place. The legislature and the governor saw exactly what you're mentioning and asked themselves as well, why are communities and places left out? And so in part, by writing the law the way they did, and then us designing our program the way we've done, we have really set in criteria that aim to correct that problem. And so the criteria, for example, that our commissioners, the California Public Utilities Commission commissioners, put in place require us, when we're evaluating proposals, to prioritize and really actually only grant to providers who are going to serve places that are currently unserved. So that is our first and foremost criteria. If the place already has service, we move on to the next one. They also require us and require the new providers to look at low-income and disadvantaged communities and really prioritize those as places where these new networks will be built. We've also prioritized low-cost plans, so affordable plans that will last for 5 years. One of the recipients in Siskiyou County, your Siskiyou telephone company, is going to offer a $50 plan, for 5 years when they build their new last mile networks. That's the level of affordability that we look for when we're deciding which grants to make to which providers. So you're very correct, and it is a problem that all of us have seen over the years, and we're really trying to address that problem through the design of this program.
Well, that's good news. It sounds like the 21st century is going to be a little different than the 20th century.
That's our aim, for sure.
So given the 21st century and climate change and the disastrous impact of severe weather events, can you talk about the safeguards that will be put in place and the resiliency measures to recover quickly in case of internet disconnections?
Yes. So, well, first and foremost, these new providers that are receiving these funds are going to be responsible start to finish for operations. And so we did issue a series of technical assistance grants to a lot of these providers as they were looking to get ready for receiving a grant and building these networks and becoming an active provider. Again, I have to say Siskiyou Telephone has been operating in this region for quite some time, and they have a lot of experience with managing through wildfire and other emergency response. One way that a lot of the providers will address this is by laying the fiber underground. That is one way to make sure that it's resilient. And of course, we'll have to have staffing in place to make sure that when a disaster happens, if any part of their infrastructure is damaged, they can recover quickly. So those are all part of their business plans as they move forward to receiving these grants.
So how many residents will gain access in the counties and the tribal communities that are targeted?
So our estimates as of today are that in Siskiyou County, 624 people. It's a very rural area. There will be 624 people who will benefit. In Del Norte, there will be close to, I'm doing some quick math here, close to 4,000. Who will benefit. And then in Humboldt County, we're looking at close to 8,000 people who will benefit from these investments.
Okay, we have about a minute left. Can you talk about the California Interactive Broadband Map and how the public can provide feedback?
Yes, so we have an interactive broadband map online, and it provides information both to us at the Public Utilities Commission and the Department of Technology. The public can always go on there, check it out, look at where there's what our map says as far as where there's no service today, where service is coming because of one of these grants. They can look at the middle mile plans, and it's very interactive. We welcome input and feedback from the public all the time.
Well, that's all the time we have for this segment of the JX. I've been talking with Rachel Peterson, Executive Director of the California Public Utilities Commission. Rachel, thank you for an enlightening conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you.